Today we're in the second week of our series called Connected, and the whole idea of the series, we said this up front last week. Can we all just agree? We all live such busy lives. Amen. So many of us are so busy in our lives. We got a lot going on. Sometimes we wear that though as a badge, where people so we say, "Well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy." Well, I'm really busy. You know, we start kind of out trying to out-busy each other in our lives because it's kind of a badge of importance or something. But we're all busy. And in our busy life, so many times it's easy to forget that God made us for connection, that we're wired for connection. In fact, we're made to be connected to God. We're made to be connected to one another. And we're made to be connected to the world, to reach out our hand, to extend our hand, to make a difference in the world. These three connections are a vital part of who God has made us to be. But what happens in our lives so many times, we said last week, is that when we get really busy, the more busy we get, the easier it is to start to believe the lie that, you know what, or what we start to do is we start to kind of put our value on the things that seem most urgent. You know, the things that are screaming loudest at us, whether it's a child or an email or just stuff, fires we got to put out everywhere, we start to kind of, you know, sacrifice the important for the things that seem more urgent. And in those times, it's easy to see those three vital connections as just kind of like, you know what, those are nice, but they're more add-ons to the other important stuff we've got going on. Anybody else relate to that? I know that's like wrestling I have to have all the time. Prioritize what's important. Well, last week we started the series off by saying that as we're building our lives, we have to first make sure that we're building on the right foundation. And so many times when we're building things into our life, we start with the wrong foundation. We start with a foundation of like a relationship, you know, and we make that the foundation that everything we build upon. Or we start with our career and we make that the foundation. Or our kids, or, you know, it might be, you know, something like our finances, like our financial stability. If we just get this block in place, then we can add every other thing in our life. And all those things are so important, and God cares about them, but none of those things are strong enough to hold up the weight of your life. They're not a good foundation. And so here's what we said last week, this truth, is that if you build on any other foundation than Jesus, everything else you build in your life won't stand. If you build on any other foundation than Jesus, everything else you build in your life won't stand. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the vine and you're the branches." In other words, we illustrate it like this week, is that what it means to really build on the foundation or a vine, it means that Jesus, our relationship with God, God has to be this connection, our connection between God and God's connection with me. This has to be the foundation. Jesus, God is the source. God is the vine, and so when God is in me and I'm in God, all of a sudden everything else we build in our lives, God can bring life to every single area. He can hold it up, He can hold it together, and He can make it come alive. And so what we're doing today, we're adding each week a different block. If you love Legos, you're going to love this. We're adding a different block every week to what we're building in our lives. And what I want to talk with you about today is this idea of serving. And I know we've talked about serving a lot. It's a big part of who we are as a church. And so some of you may be like, "Yep, we heard this one before, Pastor," right? But I want to talk to you about it in a different way today. Because the thing is, I really believe that is when you see it like this, is that it's all about being connected when it comes to serving. I want to talk with you about that because here's the thing. You see how this is built. When God is connected to me, when God is connected to me, God enables me to start serving at a higher level. But what starts to happen so many times is we start to serve with me, just my power and serving. And what happens is our serving, we usually get burned out. We usually find that we're empty. We usually find that our serving doesn't seem to bear the fruit that we always really want to see. But the way God has designed this thing to work is when He's working in your life, He can bring life to even the area of your serving. So I want to talk to you about how we can be connected, not just to God, but how we can be connected through serving. And let me set it up like this. This past week, I was watching this video online on YouTube. It's a good thing. About this interview with Pastor Francis Chan. And Francis Chan's famous pastor. He's also a well-written author, wrote the book Crazy Love. And Francis Chan, you have to know about him. He started a church that started in his living room. And over many years, it grew to about 5,000 people. Crazy, right? But Francis Chan, in this interview, though, he was sharing about he was sharing about why he decided to leave the megachurch he started. It's like, why do you leave all that? Like, what, after God has been working in so many ways, why did you leave that? And Francis Chan said, you know, it was amazing in a lot of ways. Like, there were like 5,000 people gathered there watching me use my gift. He said, it kind of seemed funny. Everybody's sitting there watching me use my gift. And at the same time, it was kind of sad. Because as he looked around at everybody sitting there in the seats, he realized, you know what? This is one of those things where very few of the people in this church, he was thinking, are actually using their gifts. Very few of the people are actually in the game and participating, engaged in the ministry of God. I mean, the vast majority of the people weren't actually participating and using their gifts. And he was looking at his gift, and everybody's watching him use his. And he's like, man, this just seems not biblical. Like, there's something off about what this means to be the church. And he said, you know, these people that I'm watching, like, they are so gifted by God. Like, during the week, they are running businesses, and they're running hospitals and schools, and they're running their families, and they're using their gifts, but here they are. And he said, this is just not the way the church is supposed to be. And so, he said, I left the megachurch I started because there were numerous people watching and gathering and attending, but very few people were involved. And he said, and over time, the church that I started actually became more like an orphanage. It's like, what in the world? He said, here's the thing. I was talking to this guy who was in a gang that got baptized, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he got baptized. And the guy in the gang said to me, he said, you know what? I thought that when I got baptized, this was going to be a 24/7 kind of deal. You know, like when you join a gang, you're all in, everything about it. He said, I didn't realize this was going to be kind of a thing where you just kind of come and you see and then you leave the same as you were before. And he's like, there's something wrong. This is not what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to look like. And it's not a dig on his church. He was reflecting on man, there's something missing. What does it mean to be a church? He said it was become like an orphanage, a bunch of kids that were lightly connected to him, but people weren't really connected to the family. They weren't connected to each other, and they weren't really using their gifts. Everybody wasn't using their gifts in a way that they could serve. Now, this is not a critique of church size. Like, we love churches of all sizes. I believe in them. There are small churches, medium size, large size, mega church. God uses all churches to reach all sorts of people. And I also believe that God wants every single church to grow bigger and bigger and bigger to reach more and more and more and more people. But Francis Chan was just reflecting on this fact that God has wired us all for shared ministry, to do ministry together. And how many people were missing out on that? How we're made to be connected as we serve together. And that's what it means to be the church. So that's what I want to talk with you about today. I just believe that every single person has a supernatural gift, right? You can picture you with a cape on. You know, this is like what my kids, this is like their life. They love putting capes on and running through the house. And in some ways, I feel like taking them sometimes and say, do you realize you have supernatural gifts? That if you're connected with God, you have spiritual gifts, right? You have spiritual gifts that are meant to be used for the sake of the body, the church, and also to further the glory of God. You have gifts that are meant to be used for the sake of the body to the glory of God. And I started thinking when I was thinking about this concept this week that what would it look like? Imagine what would it look like to be a church, to be a body where everybody was involved, everybody was using their gifts, where everybody was bringing what God had wired them to do and what the passions and the gifts and everything that God had put in them, and they bring that to the table, and everybody else is doing that too. Imagine how contagious that would be to be a part of a body like that. And I was like, man, I'm so proud of this church. I love what God's doing in this church. But I thought, man, how cool would that be as we continue to go as a church? What if we started to look like that? And it's one of those things where I just realized, like, if we could just understand that we have a unique contribution that God has wired us to bring to the team, and how God can actually get in work. This is the cool thing. When we're serving with just me, the fruit of it only goes to the level that I can do. But when our serving, when we're connected to God, God connects us to the body, and what we do gets connected to what you do, and you do, and you do, and you do, and all of a sudden God multiplies it to reach the world. This is what happens when we're part of the body of Christ. And so the thing is, this is what the Apostle Paul was excited about when he shared this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we oftentimes read this like a math equation, how there's one and many and all these things. You'll hear it in a minute. But I just think sometimes we miss the passion that Paul sees in this. I just imagine Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing this, and his hand can't stop writing with excitement, saying, guys, do you realize how amazing this is, that we of what we get to be part of when we're serving the Lord? Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7, it says this. Paul says, now to each one, the manifestation, big word, of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 8, to one, there is given through the Spirit, and this is a long passage, so I'm going to abbreviate this. To one, there is given through the Spirit, and he lists all these gifts. There's gifts of, you know, faith, and there's gifts of communication. There's gifts of all sorts of things. You know, being able to speak to people, being able to serve in all sorts of ways. He talks about all these gifts. And then he says in verse 11, it says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he, the Spirit, distributes them to each one just as he determines. That means that you have been wired with certain supernatural gifts. You got your cape on, right? You've been wired with supernatural gifts that suddenly come alive when you're connected to him. That God distributes certain gifts to each and every person. I don't have every gift, and you don't have every gift. It's because God wants your gift to get combined with everybody else's gifts. And all of a sudden, God gets to be the great conductor that says, see what I'm directing, this orchestra that I'm directing. Or like a builder, see what I'm building in your life and what you're part of. And so this is the thing. Spiritual gifts are simply a fruit of or evidence of your connection to God. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. When you get connected to God, a fruit of that is you get some extra gifts. That for me, natural gifts would be like sports, it used to be, and music, right? But it's one of those things where you get some gifts when you're connected to Jesus that you don't get if you're disconnected. When you cling to the vine, you start being able to serve in ways that go beyond what you're naturally gifted to do. And so the thing is, as we think about this as blocks, from that connection with God, God enables you to serve him and to serve others in a way that goes beyond what you can do without God. So here's the bottom line with this idea. It's this. It's true serving flows from your connection with God. True serving flows from your connection with God. We got to always remember Jesus is the vine. And so as we think about this, oftentimes when we serve, we forget that we serve an unlimited God who has displayed and poured on us this unlimited grace, and he wants to use us to pour out his unlimited grace on the lives of other people. That's what we get to be part of. But there's another connection that goes beyond just God and me and me getting to serve. Here's what the Apostle Paul says next, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. We'll skip around a little bit because it's long. It says this, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. The Apostle Paul might as well say, whether you're this color or this color, whether you live like this or this. So if you belong to Jesus, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. Skip into verse 17. It says this, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so we can stop here. Here's the thing. Sometimes we look around at other people's gifts and we say, man, I wish I had that. Like, if I just had that, then I could serve Jesus in a bigger way. And Jesus is like, no. I have distributed to you certain gifts in your sphere of influence that I want you to use. I've given them to you, and they're exactly what you need. They're exactly what you need to serve me. And so here's what it continues, verse 19. The Apostle Paul says, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Skip into verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, he says, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, here's the thing. When we serve, the Apostle Paul is saying, it's not just about us and God. When we serve, we actually get connected with others on a team. That everybody's been given different gifts, but those gifts aren't made to stand alone. Like, sometimes all we see is like, well, I've got this gift, and how are you going to use this, God? A lot of those gifts aren't meant to be used by yourself. They're meant to be combined and joined up with other people's gifts. And so God starts to build something. And all those gifts are made to build up the body, the church, and to further the glory of God. So this is one of the reasons why I love this church. I love you guys. I talk to pastors all the time who are like, man, I wish our people could just understand what it means to serve and to be a part of the body of Christ. And we're like, I'm so thankful for this church. Like, you guys are so good at this. You understand this. You get this. In just 5 years, it's who you are. In fact, one of the things that I love is that you see vision and passion coming from people as they're serving here. They realize it's bigger than just what it seems like on the surface. I mean, many of you realize that, like, let's say you're on the welcome team. You realize that you're not just opening a door. Like, how boring, right? You're actually opening a door so that people can be welcomed in so that they can experience Jesus' purpose. I mean, many of you who are serving, you know, it would be easy to see, you know, some of you are, you know, it's one of those things, you're not just rocking a baby, and you know that. I mean, if it was just rocking a baby, I mean, that's purposeful, right? You know, don't drop the baby, that would be bad, you know? Which, by the way, it's like a ticking time bomb, you know? It's like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Those of you who serve in kids ministry, praise you, you know, you guys are awesome. But it's one of those things where you realize you're not just rocking a baby. No, you are. Let me put it this way. We visited a church when we were on vacation, and we dropped our kids off. And for the first 15 minutes, we were like, oh, I wonder how our kids are doing. Wonder if they're okay. And then we realized, oh, God's actually wanting us to, like, sing and to participate. And I was just like, man, I'm so thankful for the people who make things happen here at the Fountain, because what it does, you're not just rocking a baby. You are showing God's grace to a child, and you're also enabling a parent to be freed up and to have peace so that they can actually hear and respond to the love of God. See, the thing is, this church hasn't been planted on the gifts of a few. It's been planted on the sacrifices of many, and you see it every single week. I mean, it's one of those things where we're known as being a church where people are involved and people are engaged in the mission, that people are using their gifts to serve. And can there be more? Absolutely. And it would be easy to look at that and say, well, of course, there's a lot of people involved. We're meeting in a school, and this is a young church, and that'll die down someday. Nope. As we continue to grow, we're going to keep adding more and more and more and more teams, because we really believe this is what it means to be the church. And so the thing is, this is something I hear all the time from people who come and visit the Fountain. I mean, it's hard to see that when you're in the bubble here. But when people come from the outside, they come and they're like, wow. They can't believe how many people, like, the passion of you, when the people who are serving. They can't believe, like, man, how many people are doing all this stuff and making all this happen. Mandy's grandfather is hilarious, and he comes down and he's like, man, he goes back, he says, I gotta go back to my church and tell them, we gotta have more passion. These people have passion. They love Jesus. We're like, well, easy, you know, God's doing something good there. But it's just like, man, just people get captivated by what's happening. Is it perfect? No. Is there more to go? Absolutely. But the thing is, so many of you are giving of your heart and your passion. So many of you are offering your gifts and even things that you don't even think are a gift, but you see a need, praise you, right? And it's one of those things where you're doing it to serve Jesus. And when I see that happening all the time, I walk around the church, and some of us don't get to see all the different things. But I walk around the church on Sundays, and I am just blown away. Like, I walk around thinking all the time, like, I am so humble that I get to be your pastor. But even more than me, I think that our Heavenly Father sees that. When he sees you serving in various ways, he realizes what he's actually building. And I almost imagine that it's like this praise and worship to God when we serve, that our Heavenly Father's just clapping and saying, thank you. Thank you for answering the call, because you're helping to share my love with people. Now, you may have noticed the elephant in the room. I'm wearing this shirt today that says servant on it. Servant, love God, love people, make disciples. And we're actually giving these out today, but I'll tell you a little bit more about how you can get it in a minute. But being a servant is kind of interesting, because being a servant today is sometimes looked down upon. It's almost like you're a slave or you're lesser than somebody. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, being a servant is actually a term of endearment. It means that in a lot of ways, you are a hero in the faith. Because the thing is, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He's the name above all names. He's worthy of all praise. He said, I did not come to be served. Like, if anybody should be served, it should be Jesus. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. When you become a servant of God, you become part of, you start to look like the God that we follow. And it's one of those things that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're also a servant of Jesus. And it means that we're to, no matter where we are, to realize that we are the hands and we're the feet that makes God's mission come alive in the world. And so this shirt is just a reminder that we're not here to serve any other smaller mission. We are servants of God. We're made to love God with all our heart. We're made to serve God by loving other people and serving them. And we're made as servants of God to do everything we can to make disciples, to help connect and grow people closer to Jesus. This is who we are. But sometimes when we serve, we don't realize the interconnectedness of how when I do my part, God is actually using it to do something much bigger than we can see. And so people oftentimes think, well, you know, serving, you know, is a good thing to do to help my church. And it is. I mean, there is truth that, like, we literally, when you serve, like, we literally as a church, not just organizationally, but I mean the church, the body, we could not do the ministry we do without you. There is truth to that, that it is helping the church. But in a lot of ways, it's so much bigger than that. Because it's one of those things where when you serve, it's really connecting you to the mission of God. That you become part of what Jesus is wanting to do in people's lives. And so that's why we're so passionate about connecting, helping to connect people through serving here. That's why we talk about it all the time. It's because here's the thing. We're going to talk in a couple weeks about what it means to serve outside the walls. But the thing that oftentimes we miss is that ministry actually is also happening inside the walls. The mission of God happens also inside. And it's one of those things where we have been so blessed as a church to become a church that's reaching people who have been connected to Jesus and following God and in church for years and years. And at the same time, the complete opposite. There's people who have connected here who have maybe, you know, they're just checking Jesus out, maybe still on the fence. Maybe my wife brought me to church and promised me lunch, but I'm ready to get out of here. In fact, Todd Franklin, today's his birthday. And Todd, I was telling this earlier, I was reminded of his testimony that Todd came in and had a lot going on in his life. And he told the story about the first time I came to the fountain. He sat over there and he said, I sat there or stood there watching everybody worship and they looked like they were nuts. And he said, I had my arms crossed, and I thought, I'm like, I don't know what they're drinking. I don't know what they're having, right? But, like, I don't know if I want any of that, you know? And over time, he started realizing, whoa, these people are legit. Like, there is something in them. God is in them in a different way. And over time, God softened his heart, and he reconnected to God, and God is using them in big ways. But it's one of those things where we're reaching people who have maybe never been in church, all sorts of things. And so sometimes people show up at the fountain and they're searching for God. They're searching for hope. They're searching for peace because there's chaos going on everywhere. But oftentimes it's much more simple. Sometimes people are just looking for a home. They're looking for friends. People are moving to the area and they're just looking for a community that we believe can be found in the church. That's why when we serve, we join up with the mission of God. The other thing, too, we also miss the interconnectedness of how when we do our part, when we serve, God actually pulls the raw material together of what I do, what I bring, and he joins it together to build something so much bigger when it's combined with everybody else's. And the same thing happens oftentimes in the body here at the Fountain. I mean, we might be serving in a particular area. We might be in a welcome team and serving with our people there, or on the worship team or in the production team. In kids or student ministry. We might be doing, you know, coffee or guest services, whatever, you know? But we always have a limited view of what's happening throughout the whole church. And oftentimes, what we only see is what's happening in my specific area or in my specific role. And it's so fun to walk around the church and to see what's happening. Because what happens is your team is never carrying the mission of God alone. Like, there's so much ministry that's happening all over the church. In fact, one of the things that I almost think of, like, when you join a serve team, I think of serve teams like the Dream Team back in the 1990s. Anybody remember the Dream Team? That was the NBA stars joined together to be on an Olympic team for Team USA. And it was Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, you know, all sorts of guys. You know I named all the Bulls. But, you know, they're all these awesome players. They were the best anyway. But anyway, all these awesome players. And at first they started playing together. And they weren't very good. Best players, but they weren't playing together. And they started getting beat. But then when they finally started playing together and understanding each other's roles, they were unstoppable. They would beat teams by 40 and 50 points. Because when everybody came together and everybody used their gift, they were incredible. And I think that serve teams are kind of like the dream team. Because serve teams make God's dream come alive. I mean, this is what we get to be part of. In fact, we were doing some numbers this past week of refresh group stuff, and we were looking at serve teams. And I just have to tell you, I had one of those, are you serious moments? We were just counting how many people it takes on a Sunday morning, how many people are actually serving on a Sunday morning, and I had no idea. Like, we were looking at this and realizing that on a regular Sunday morning in all of our areas, it's one of those things where about 65 to 70 volunteers are serving every single Sunday. I was like, I had no idea that was happening. That's crazy. And so that's awesome. And I was just thinking, you know, ministry is happening so many places. But the thing is, God wants to do so much more. I mean, the goal that we have is not to be satisfied with, that's so great that we have a large percentage of people serving. Our goal is we want to help every person to get plugged in. We want to help every person to join the team and to see what it's like to use their gifts and to connect with the body. And so, you know, as our church continues to grow, one of the things that we found, surprise, the needs continue to grow, right? More ministry starts to happen to keep furthering the mission of God. And so we're looking around and realizing, man, there's so many opportunities for people to be part. I mean, there's opportunities for people to be part of the production team and the worship team. There's opportunities for people to be part of the welcome team. Man, the people on the welcome team are the front line. They are the rock stars. They're the people that welcome others the way God first welcomed us. And there's opportunities when it comes to our Fountain Kids and our Fountain Student Ministry to serve. We need more people investing in our next generation. In fact, just this past Sunday, another numbers thing. It's kind of cool. It's vision. I found out that there was like over 20 kids in our K-5 environment during just 1 hour. And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. We got to get more people helping, investing in people, right? At the same time, our Fountain students are getting ready to start every single Sunday, Fountain Student Night. And we're so excited. They had a bunch of kids in the refresh group today. Awesome. But we need more people to be counselors in that area, investing in them. At the same time, here we are in a portable space, and we don't just show up and church happens, right? This has to be transformed every Sunday. And we have so many faithful people who put in their sweat equity, their holy sweat in, so that this can transform literally from a school to really a place of worship. Not just here, but all over the church. And it's one of those things where we are so blessed by those guys. You guys are literally the heroes. They show up at 7:30 on Sundays. And it's a lot of work. It's hard, but it's kind of fun to be part of it, except for getting up, right? But here's the thing. We have a goal. We want to connect 6 more people to the setup team. Because with 6 more people getting connected to the setup team, it means that these guys who are serving once every 2 to 3 times a month, or one, excuse me, 2 to 3, every once every 2 to 3 weeks, it means all of a sudden some of these guys can start serving just once a month. Praise God. There's also need on our breakdown team. Marvin and Marta do an awesome job, you know, rolling up pipe and drape and stuff. But we need more people jumping in, helping. And it's not because we just have this need. It's because, you know what? We get to be part of the mission of God. And so you all have this card inside your program that says, I want to join a serve team. And this is really, I like to preach for response. I don't like it to just go in one ear and say, that's nice, and we go home. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to invite you to be a part of a serve team. This is the very clear response, as clear as I can make it. I want to invite you to join a serve team for the fall. And on this card is a really simple way to do that. Simply, there's a lot of different ways to serve that are on here. There's other things that are not on here. But if you would commit to be a part of a serve team for this fall, if you would just fill out your information, and there's a lot of different ways that you can say, hey, I'm interested in this, and I'm interested in this. And we'd love to talk with you about ways that you can get involved. And you may be like, I don't even know what way I want to serve. Like, just fill out the card and we'll talk with you. Like, we want to help you because we really believe this is what it means to be part of the church. We want to help you to respond. Now, some of you have been on serve teams for a long time. You've been serving. This is kind of like an act of worship. It's an act of, you know, saying, you know what, I love what I'm doing. I want to recommit to being a part of that. And here's why this is important that you fill it out. It's because You see these cool t-shirts. I wish we had a better model up here. Sorry, guys. Fabio or something. But anyway, or whoever this generation's Fabio is, whatever. Moving on. But anyway, when you fill out this, when you fill this out, we want to give you this t-shirt to basically say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for joining the team. Welcome to the team. And just to say thank you for what you do. So when you leave today, don't place in this in the basket. Take this out in the hallway with you, and this is like your ticket to get a shirt. Mandy was telling me in the first service, we had so many people who were committed to join a serve team, and many, many people who are brand new. And so praise God for that. So I want to invite you to do the same thing, because when you serve, you get to partner with the mission of God, and you get connected with a team of people, other servants, who are wanting to passionately help people to experience more of Jesus too.